give you a call later this week or next week and just say, hey, how's it going? Do you have any questions for us? Maybe even offer if you want to learn more about God's word. We do Bible studies. We can do it here. We can do it in your home. We just want to get to know about a little bit more about you and let you ask some things about us. Also, if you feel compelled to give today, we don't pass anything. There's a plastic box in the back. You can put something in there. You could give online, the website, cgcmadison.org. You could give by mail if you want to put something in the USPS. Or you could also give on the app. There's a Church Center app if you don't know what it is or how to get it. It's an app that you can keep up to date on events, but you could also give on the app if you'd like. Some announcements for the coming month. Family camp. So family camp. What is family camp? It's a camp for anybody, right? They say family, but they're just differentiating for it's not like the kids camp or the youth group camp. It's a camp that everybody can go to, okay? It begins next Sunday, July 2nd, and it goes through July 7th. And everyone's encouraged to go. It's going to be a great time. There are details posted up there, and there's also details posted on the doors on the way out. So if you can't read this, you can work your way there. But every morning there's prayer. There's Bible classes at 10 a.m. There's evening services at 7 p.m. And then there's children's churches for different ages at these services. So the children can be learning about God and having a good time, and you can focus on God and have a good time in these sanctuary, in the main sanctuary. There's a couple great speakers, Brother Abernathy and Brother Joel Urshan. I highly recommend trying to get up there. It'd be a great time. But due to family camp, and a lot of our people do go to family camp, the office here in the building is closed from July 3rd through the 7th. Monday through Friday, the office is closed. So if you're coming here looking for somebody or something, you're probably not going to find them, and the door may be locked. Okay? Heads up. And then lastly, we have some special speakers that are on the schedule for July. I want to give you a heads up about July 9th, so after camp, Brother Randy Adams is coming to speak. He's the regional director of Africa for missionaries, so that'll be exciting. And then Brother Morton Buster, you see on the screen, he's an international evangelist. He'll be speaking on July 16th in our 11 a.m. service. Let's stand this morning. Let's pray that God has his way this morning. We're all here. We all look nice. You know, we set our highs, but now let's let God have his way. Let's let his power and his anointing work in our hearts in every part of this service. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this service. Thank you, God, for being here, for your presence that we already feel, God. God, let your power and your anointing flow through this service, God. Let it guide our music. Let it guide our preaching, God. Anoint my pastor. God, anoint our hearts to hear what you have, God. We bind any distractions that try to get in the way of hearing from you this morning, of connecting from you, of starting a change, God, that comes from you. God, let your will be done today in Jesus' name. Worship with us this morning.
says victory. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Tell me whose report will you believe?
Shall believe the report of the Lord.
Right hand.
say you are King. So let's all, yes, why you just wanna be with you, King of glory, fill this place. We just wanna be with you. We just wanna be with you. Yes, the world.
Sing hallelujah until you
Jesus. Do the work, Lord. Do the work, God. Yes. King of glory, fill this place. Just wanna be with you. Just wanna be.
Praise God. There's such a powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. I don't know what you came here expecting, but you'll get what you expected to get, good or bad. If you came here expecting a miracle, you can leave with that miracle. If you came here with low level of expectation, there's a good chance you'll leave here with low level of expectation. I want to tell you that the King of Glory, He is in this place today. He is in this place. You can be seated this morning. Thank you to our worship team. Thank you so very much. We had our junior camp last week, and a lot of our young people, our young junior campers were up there. How many of you were able to go to junior camp? What happened to you, Eleanor, at junior camp? Would you like to tell us? Where is she this morning? There you are. What happened at junior camp? Would you share with everyone? Tell us. Are you embarrassed? Are you scared? Would you say that right here at the microphone? Let everybody know.
I got the Holy Ghost in.
Was junior camp everything you expected it to be? But you got the Holy Ghost, right? Did you expect to get the Holy Ghost? Was it the food wasn't this what you expected? This is good, though. Kate, now you just got back from Japan on an AYC trip. Was it everything you expected it to be?
Yes, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Did you go with high level of expectations? And it fulfilled your expectations? I remember a number of years ago, my mom and dad had this bright idea that they were going to take us three boys to Wisconsin Dells. Now, Julie and Rico live in the Dells, and so they're around this all the time. And we had never been to the Dells other than we had seen, like, billboard after billboard after billboard of the duck rides and the boat rides in the Upper Dells and the Tommy Bartlett Water Show. So Mom and Dad said, we're going to go to the Dells, and they took us to the Dells. And I'm sorry, but the Dells did not meet our level of expectation. We expected the ducks. We expected the boat ride. We expected to go and see the Tommy Bartlett Water Show. Instead, we got storybook gardens. And you don't take 10, 11, 12-year-old boys to see Mother Goose or Jack and the Beanstalk, or Billy Goat's Gruff, or the Three Billy Goats, or the Three Pigs, or any of those. Now I appreciate the sentiment, the experience, but it just simply did not meet our level of expectation. When Dad says we're going to the Dells, the first thing in our minds was duck rides, boat rides, and water ski shows. And we got Mother Goose. I woke up this morning. This is going to be a little mental whiplash here. I woke up this morning with a song on my mind. And I had to look it up. It was like 4:15 in the morning. So I get my phone out and I'm looking it up. And I could only, this one line just kept coming through my mind. Coming through my mind. And some of you are going to recognize this right away. But the thing that came through my mind was, Satan's snares may vex my soul and turn my thoughts aside. I just kept repeating that. Satan's snares may vex my soul and turn my thoughts aside. What song is that to? So I type it in. Anybody remember what song that was to? What's that? I'm going to have to say no, Sister Vicky. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. And the line is, Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord leads me on. Yes, we're talking this morning. We're going to talk about expectations. And we've been in this for a while. Most of our summer season or spring has been talking about mental health. Been talking about triggers that lead to negative mindsets. We heard of an incredible Bible study this morning on two thieves that were on the cross. And the thing that jumped out at me as Pastor Peter was teaching this Bible study, these two thieves, one sought repentance because of a choice he made and a level of expectation he had that Jesus could do what he asked. And the other was defiant, did not believe that Jesus could do what he claimed he could do or who he claimed he was. So one chose repentance, thus ended up in paradise, and one chose defiance, and thus ended up at Mother Goose's house. I'm just joking, okay? We're reading this morning from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I went to bed thinking of that statement and woke up with that song on my mind. Satan's snares may vex my soul and turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord leads me on. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, we've been talking about triggers that lead to negative mindsets. We've talked about offenses, people being offended. We covered the right way to ask forgiveness. We talked about resolution versus reconciliation. We talked about shame. And we're going to press forward today. Before we press forward, I'd like to read what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is a very, very powerful, potent passage of Scripture. Paul writes to us and says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Don't worry about anything. Do you have worries on your mind this morning? Are you worried? "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." That little right there, "by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Some of us have a skewed view of God because our level of expectation. When we ask God for something, sometimes we expect God. It goes like this: "Lord, you know I really need to save on my monthly gas budget. So, you know, it'd be really nice to either have an EV vehicle or maybe a Harley Davidson that gets better gas mileage. So we ask God for a Harley or an electric vehicle. The bottom line is we can't afford the insurance on either one of them. And then we get upset at God. Now, this is kind of an extreme, so I'm just, you know, just roll with me here. But we get upset at God because God doesn't come through on our expectation. Sometimes we look at God and we treat God as though he's a valet. And we say, God, go park my car. When I need it, I'll call you. God, I'm going to work now, so if you can make sure that the house is good when I get back. We treat God like he's some kind of a servant of ours. And thus our level of expectation, what we expect from God, is skewed because we have a skewed level. Everything is in our mind is skewed. But he says, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request or present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a very, very powerful verse. Memorize that. Write it down. Put it on your dash. So we look at offenses. We talked about shame. We talked about expectations a month or so ago at a little bit different venue. So I'm going to take and go a little different direction on how this affects us when it comes to things that trigger us in our mindsets. There are all kinds of things that we get triggered over. We've talked about this a lot. Maybe some of you are like, I'm triggering you today because you're tired of hearing about this. But it must mean I'm striking a nerve if I'm triggering something that you needs to work on. So you need to just listen a little closer perhaps. But we talk about all these different things that affect us. And the reality is everything, and this is something that I just have really been hit hard with this series, is everything we say and do and who we are is based upon thought processes in our minds. We laugh about this, but my gallbladder doesn't determine who I am. It determines maybe what color or shade I am. My liver doesn't determine who I am. My kidneys don't determine who I am. It's literally a little portion in the center part of our brains, the size of an almond, that determines who we are and what we are. It determines how we respect and treat other people and how we respond to other people's treatment. So when we talk about expectations, there's a saying that goes that expectations, this is so good, expectations are premeditated resentments. Write that one down. We say, wait, what? You might think, aren't expectations a good thing? It was once said that anyone who imagines that bliss is normal is going to waste a lot of time running around shouting that he has been robbed. Now you think about this. Last week we gave out some wonderful ribeye steaks. And it was Father's Day, and Mitty walked out of here with a tomahawk ribeye steak. But the fact of the matter is, Pastor Peter, I have eaten far more tough steaks than I've ever eaten sweet, delicious, tender ribeye steaks. I've had more flank steak, round steak, flat steak than I've had tenderloins or ribeyes. And the same thing goes with life. Life sometimes is a lot tougher than it is tender. And it all has to do with what our level of expectations are. Most folks, understand something, most children, parents, you look at your children here today, most children just grow up to be people. Not every child grows up to be president, vice president, CEO, some famous football, basketball, soccer, tennis, golf player. Most of us just grow up and we just become us. There's no super big celebrities in here today. There's no one in here today that if I got your autograph, I could run out and go on to Facebook Marketplace and sell it for thousands of dollars, because we're just people. The truth of the matter is, most of us just grow up to be people. Most successful marriages. I'm sighing on this one because we're going to have to, this is a tough chew. Most successful marriages require a high degree of mutual toleration. You ever feel that way? Sister Julie Powell's got that look on her face. Brother Dan, you're nodding your head and she's, you have to look at that. And you say, well, that's kind of harsh, mutual toleration. Sometimes, you know what, we just, yeah. Listen, moms and dads, with all your kids at home, wait till you have an empty nest. And you have no one else in the home to talk to. It's a challenge. All you empty nesters, you know what I'm talking about. Everything centers around children. And you don't expect that someday those kids are going to be gone. And now that they're gone, you're just like, whoa. We only had one. I'm glad she turned out. Well, look who she had for a dad. I mean, come on. You know, most jobs, let's just be honest here. I mean, think about this. Most jobs, they're pretty dull and boring. There are some exceptions to that. But, you know, most of us don't go to work and just like, oh, I can't wait to get my computer turned on and stare at this keyboard for another 6 to 8 hours. You see, there's an old proverb. Now, I love model railroading. And many of life lessons that I've learned in life, model railroading has taught me a lot about myself. And there's an old model railroad proverb that goes like this. Life is like an old-time railroad or an old rail journey. There are delays, there are sidetracks, there's smoke, there's dust, there's cinders, and there's jolts, interspersed only by occasionally by beautiful vistas and thrilling bursts of speed. The trick is to thank the Lord for letting you just get on the ride. You see, life is full. Life is full of unmet expectations. Life is full of delays. Life is full of sidetracks. Life is full of smoke and dust and cinders and jolts. And occasionally we get that time to where we see those beautiful vistas, those beautiful scenes and scenery, and we enjoy the thrill of the ride or the speed of the ride. But life isn't just always to where we wake up every day and when our feet hit the floor, we have a massive smile on our face and every single thing that we encounter over the course of the day is perfect. This doesn't happen that way. Why is that? It's because life and dealing with expectations has a way of changing us, doesn't it? It has a way of getting into our minds. And we begin to process things. I used to think that I had the right to expect people to act a certain way or do a certain thing. When you're younger and you're a teenager, you kind of can think that way. And then it was fine to expect things to turn out exactly how I wanted them. However, unrealistic expectations helped open the door to me, or for me, to resentment and disappointment in life. So let's explore this a little bit deeper today. We're talking about triggers. We're talking about things that we allow into our minds that knock us off our track, knock us off of our path. There are pitfalls concerning expectations. Now, we have a lot of our young people are up at camp, or junior camp and such. They're all starting today. But to the young people or younger people that are here today, I want you to pay close attention. Because as you start out in life, you are going to have one of those fell all over it love relationships. You're going to run into that perfect young man or perfect young lady. And everything about them is just perfect. You see, expectations are when you imagine in your mind how everything will turn out. You see yourself before he's even asked you out on a date. You see yourself living in this beautiful house, driving a beautiful car. All of your children are beautiful children. They're all dressed beautifully. You see all of this because you're expecting what you imagine in your mind, how something will turn out or how someone will act. And you assume in your mind, you make those assumptions that they're correct, that this is going to happen. But you see, you have to understand, you have to wait because there's more. Just like the salesman, but just wait. If you buy this today for $29.99, you won't just get two super sponges. You will get four, and you will get one of each color. Shipping $9.99, they're shipped separately, so understand. There's always a catch. But wait, there's more. We all have a conscious or subconscious expectations about almost everyone and every situation we deal with in life. But anticipating that very every detail in life will turn out exactly how you want it to be generally leads to discouragement and disappointment. I'm not saying that it's bad to have standards about things, like how people treat you, or to trust in the knowledge that God does do what he promises he's going to do, but creating unrealistic expectations from imperfect people and imperfect situations will only set yourself up for a deeper level of frustration. And if we allow this to continually happen to us, it can be a habitual trigger or something that will trigger us in our minds over and over and over and over and over again. When unfulfilled or unhealthy expectations involve other people not behaving the way you expect them to, these feelings lead to resentment. So how does one deal with the trigger of missed expectations? Well, we need to start off, understand something. We just need to rethink our expectations. Starts with thought process. It's not something that you can physically go to the lumber yard and buy the products and say, you know, I'm going to build this and this is going to cause me to rethink. This is something that we have to reprogram our minds. Rethinking your expectation doesn't mean that you can't ever look forward to anything ever again. In fact, God commands us that we need to or should be looking forward to the blessings that we receive from him. Every day, his blessings are good. They are abundant. But if we reframe our thinking or redesign our thinking about the future and looking forward with hope and not expectations, we will find a whole lot more joy and gratitude in our lives. So let's look at some simple steps that we can take to help us with expectations. You see, we can either give voice to your expectation or you can let it go. Example of this is over the years, I had a number of friends that went into ministry. Now, they went into ministry, Pastor Peter, much younger than I did. I didn't start pastoring until I was in my 50s. And they had already started pastoring back in their late 20s and early 30s. And while they were pastoring, I was out plumbing, and I had no interest at the time in being a pastor. I wanted to be a plumber, and I wanted to be the best I could be. And so they had built relationships that I didn't have because they were pastoring, and they knew everybody else. And over the years, I just kind of lost contact. So as I moved closer to ministry and finally getting my minister's license, I started to attend a number of district functions, as in our family camp that's coming up. And I went to a family camp a number of years ago, and it was the first time I had been to a camp in like 20 years. A lot of things can change at camp in 20 years. Number one, last time I went, we were in the old tabernacle, and we built the new tabernacle. So that was a big change. And a lot of people that last time I saw them, they were teenagers, and now they, you know, they got, you know, older children of their own. And I was sadly disappointed because I had set my level of expectation pretty high. Have you ever been to a family reunion you haven't been to because you didn't want to go for 15, 20, 30 years, and then you show up and you expect everybody to just come and say, "Oh, Peter, it's so good to see you." And you sit over there by yourself because nobody really knows who you are. Because they know that you've blown off family reunions every year for 15 years. And that you're here only because your wife says we're going this year or else. So you're there and you don't want to be there. And they pick that up when you walk in and you go sit by yourself at the faraway table. Turn your chair around and face the fan because it's hot. We had a family reunion yesterday and this is kind of describing it a little bit. First one in at the farm since the 60s. Some of you weren't even on the planet. Some of your parents weren't even on the planet. But it was interesting. So I show up there, and because everyone didn't just open up their arms and welcome me, I just kind of started to get an attitude. And I'd get bummed out a little bit because I would call them and they would not call me back right away, and I would text them and not get a response right away. And instead of realizing that my friends were probably just busy with pastoring, because I found out how busy it can be, that I shouldn't take everything personally. When they look at you and say, "Hey, we got to get together and have lunch sometime," that I need to understand that that means sometime within the next decade. Not within the next week. Brother Rico calls me and said, "Hey, we need to do lunch soon. I'm going to look at my calendar this next week. We're going to have lunch." We did have lunch because we set it up. We had fun. We had a good time. My level of expectation was there because it all, but you know, I came back and I began to develop an attitude about all of this, about ministry and about camp and all this kind of stuff. And I soon realized that my attitude was selfish and that it was pretty unfair to force them to live up to my level of expectation when I've never even bothered having a conversation with them about expectation. And this happens to us all the time. You see, my expectations for my friends only led to frustration for me because they could never live up to my unspoken desires or unspoken expectations. It was unfair to me to expect a perfect scenario when they had so many things going in their lives just as I did. As soon as I dropped my unrealistic, as soon as it dawned on me as soon as I had that come to Jesus moment on unrealistic expectations. My attitude changed. My thought process changed. My heart changed. And you know what? A lot of these people, we've developed a very good relationship. And yes, we talk about getting together soon for lunch or for dinner, and sometimes months go by. But you see, I've learned not to lower my expectation, but to just have a different attitude towards my expectation. So that leads to the next point, is don't put time limits on your expectations. So often in life, we place unrealistic times on others that we fail to live up to ourselves. You see, we want to get married now. I've talked to people, well, I want to get married. Well, when do you want to get married? Now? That's probably not going to happen. You're probably not just going to walk up to some lady after church and say, you know, God spoke to me, we're to get married now. Pastor's available. He's up there at the front. He's not doing anything. Let's go just do this. You want that dream job? We always want the dream job, but we wanted it yesterday. And when we start it, we want 5 weeks of vacation. We want to have the corner off. We don't want to work our way up. We expect from others much more than we at times give ourselves. Thus, the imbalance within our minds, imbalance of expectations, begin to cause frustrations in your relationship. You see, this works for inside the church, and it works for outside the church. You're just a fraction of who I have to deal with every week. We walk into restaurants, we go into grocery stores, we deal with people outside of this congregation all the time, and we have a level of expectation. You see, listen, if our expectations revolve only around this life, then we're going to live in a constant state of roller coaster living. That means we're going to be high, low, high, low, high, low, high, low. Because we're allowing our level of expectations to affect us. So instead of living with the expectation that I need to get married by a certain time, have children by this time, own my own house and drive 2 cars. Listen, I have hope that someday that perhaps you will meet someone as perfect as my wife. I'm saving some grace here. I'm stacking up grace and favor. Because I told my wife I had some things I was going to discuss in this message that, you see, you can apply this type of thinking when it comes to finishing school, when it comes to finding a job, when it comes to reaching milestones in relationships, or even receiving answers from prayer and direction from God. All of this applies. Next thing is we need to accept people for who they are. That's a pretty big step for a lot of us. Expecting people to be exactly how you think they should be rather than who they are is literally a breeding ground for resentment. Now, I said rarely, okay, husbands and wives, I said rarely will someone live up to your ideal. So husbands, don't look at your wife. Wife, don't look at your husband. Don't nudge each other. Just hear this through. Listen, before, this is where I had to get a little bit of points. Honey, I want to take you out for lunch after church. We're going to go to your favorite restaurant, the Cozy Nook. This is nothing about her. This is all about me, okay? This is about me today. You see, I told my wife, I laughed, I said, you know, rarely will I ever go to bed if there's dirty dishes in the sink. This is just me, okay? If I have something, a snack or something, I want to wash it and clean it. Because I don't want her to come in the morning after everybody's gone to bed and I wake up hungry and I have a 3-course meal. I don't want her to wake up in the morning before she, She's ready to start her day, and the sink's full of dishes. I'll clean them all. But you see, I also have this thing that I don't like: dirty countertops. Countertops are not storage spaces for stuff. It's okay to put, you know, flour, your canisters and stuff, but you go in there, and I've been in people's homes, and there's so much stuff on the counter. You're like, how do you, if you have dirty counters, just don't invite me over till you clean them. I have a level of expectation, you know. You don't want to trigger me. I go on vacation. My wife's all worried about getting everything packed. And what do I got to do? The vehicle has to be spotless. Now, we travel a lot in our motorhome, and we pull a Jeep. It's an old Jeep. It's vintage. Everything I own, other than my pickup truck, is vintage. Can you believe that? So I got to clean it. I want to make sure it's clean, spotless. And then you get out on the road, and you drive through one rainstorm, and it looks like, what in the world happened to this thing? But I like to clean. When I leave, Brother Al, I like, my bed has to be made every morning before I leave. In fact, you're going to be proud of me, guys. I have devised and figured out a way to make my bed while I'm still in it. See me after church and I'll share it with you. But I can do it. I'm like, you know what? This works. I don't got to get up, straighten everything up. I'm like, I can do it right here while I'm in the bed. You see, now I don't harp on this. I don't go to my wife or Sister Nancy Gomez who lives with us, and I don't go to them at night and say, you know what? Last night I went to bed and there was a dirty dish in the sink. No, I'll just clean the dish, put it in the dishwasher, put it on the dish rack. I think maybe it's a plumber thing. I don't know. I like clean faucets. I like clean sinks. I like clean toilets. But see, over the years, we've had lots and lots of people in our home. We've had a lot of people. We've had a lot of long-term guests who didn't care about dirty dishes. Or how they weren't so good at keeping their area that they were responsible for clean. But you see, I have to understand, Brother Peter, that I have to be able to take and have a level of expectation that I can realistically live with. Or resentment will begin to creep in to my life. And I'll begin to resent people and things. So instead of resenting someone not following your rule book, you can learn to appreciate them for who they are, just like you and just like me, a perfectly imperfect person. We're not all Mary Poppins, folks. We're not practically perfect in every way. We have a lot. We're perfectly imperfect. With strengths and weaknesses and preferences all on our own. Think of this. Hope, if you look at this, hope is a very happy optimism from God, which allows us to wish for a better world, but doesn't tie our happiness or our well-being to a single outcome or a single person. When we have hope, we can overcome disappointments by trusting that a better world and better things are coming. I look at this, I mean, I've talked to Brother Rossing a lot about this, and I'm almost finished here for you that are gauging me at 12 o'clock. You have this expectation that service should be out at 12, and it's 12:06, and it's not out yet. Oh boy. Pastor can be a jerk sometimes, can't he? I'm sorry. Instead of expecting yourself and everyone else to be perfect today, You can hope and rely on the presence, the peace, and the power and perfection in Jesus Christ. We live in such a broken world. It's going to be hard-pressed. Listen, the day we live in, it's going to be hard-pressed for the world to meet your level or any level of expectation when it comes to joy, peace, and happiness. It's just not going to happen. But you see, if we have the right perspective, if we have the right expectation about the God that we serve, oh, we can have hope like we've never had hope before. And we can have peace like we've never had peace before. And we can have joy and fulfillment in every aspect of our life. So if we stand to our feet this morning and our musicians can come, I want to finish by reading Paul. He writes to the church in Philippi in Philippians 1:20, reading from the ESV. He said, "And it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full coverage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." So, church, by laying down our expectation, Brother Peter brushed on this morning, dying to self, repenting, being humble, helps us to pick up Christ's expectations for this life, which, yes, it may involve a bit of suffering, and we will have to carry our cross, but by adjusting our expectations to kingdom expectations rather than personal ones will help us to be not so easily triggered when things don't always go our way. So here we are today. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Brother Trey says, today is a great day to have a great day. I might have said that wrong, Brother Trey. Forgive me if I did. What's that? It's a good day to have a good day. Yes. And every day can be a good day to have a good day if we step into the right mindsets and the right level of expectations for that day. So as our worship team begins to sing, I just want to open up this altar area up front. Maybe you're in here today. Maybe you came here and you have a whole different, maybe you're struggling with expectations in relationship. I think we can all say we struggle with that. We all expect something. Maybe we're in the middle of a battle with someone over expectations and we have never really even spoke to them about what we expect. That happens a lot. Maybe you've damaged a relationship because of expectations have led to resentment in your relationship. I just want to open up this area up front to come down and say, okay, God, I just want to reset some things. You know, you can do that with God. It's not so easy sometimes to just reset with people, but if you reset with God, God will give you the ability to reset with people. So maybe you just need a reset. Maybe you need to reset your marriage. Maybe you need to reset your finances. Whatever you need, God is here, and He will meet your level of expectation if you give Him the opportunity. So go ahead, Sister Brittany.
Beautiful. I see broken. Purify, I am clean.
washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean.
Yes, I'm clean, I'm clean. Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord again, church. Thank you so very much for coming out today. Enjoy this beautiful day. Remember expectations. Expectations. Now we're gonna try to wrap this portion up on Wednesday evening. So I'm gonna bundle the rest of these triggers together. But we're gonna start off with a really big one, and that's the trigger of personality. You know anybody with a strong personality that just sometimes just gets you triggered? So we're going to start off with that, and we'll finish up. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday evening. Expect to have a great week. God bless.